Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. It's a make or break day for Nikki Haley as voters go to the polls in more than a dozen states and American Samoa. CBS's Aaron Navarro.
If she gets 40% in a good amount of these states or cuts into a single digit gap with her and former President Trump, I think that shows cracks in the Republican Party for support for what is likely to become their general election nominee.
The Supreme Court has put a hold on Texas efforts to arrest migrants entering the U.S. illegally. CBS's Camila Montoya Galvez.
The Texas government, obviously led by Texas Governor Greg Abbott, has said that this is needed to deter illegal crossings.
Police in Nashville say five people have died in a small plane crash near Interstate 40. WTVF-TV's Hunter Hoagland.
They were in the air there. We're told they were given the all clear to land, but the pilot then radioed in that they were not able to make it to the airport.
Tower officials say they received a message about engine and power failure. There were no survivors. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin taxpayers with kids are getting a tax break. Governor Evers is enacting a bipartisan bill to expand child and dependent care tax credits from 50% of the federal credit to 100%. The total tax relief should add up to $73 million a year. On Friday, Evers vetoed three Republican tax cut bills. Suburban women in Wisconsin have a lot to say about who wins the race for president. That's why First Lady Jill Biden was in Waukesha Sunday talking about reproductive rights.
We are the first generation, and I think someone said this, in a half a century, to give our daughters a country with fewer rights than we all had.
Vice President Kamala Harris plans to be in Madison on Wednesday. I'm Nate Wuggehoe, Civic Media News.
The Brewers back in action. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After a day off, the Brewers back at it in spring training baseball with a game today against the Giants, then a split doubleheader tomorrow against the Reds and the Guardians. Milwaukee now 3-6 in Cactus League action, but manager Pat Murphy doesn't want to discourage his young players.
I always say, prepare to play good, treat yourself good. Which one do you think's the toughest? Treating yourself good. Kids, they still need help because they'll beat themselves up. They'll put their expectations so high. That's the part, you know.
Hockey, the UW-Madison men's hockey team, getting ready to host the Big Ten playoffs this weekend against Ohio State, the first game Friday night. NBA, the Bucks with a win over the Clippers, 113-106. Damian Lillard scored 41 points and talked about how Doc Rivers has helped out at head coach.
When he came in, he was just like, you guys don't run this, you guys don't run that. Like, this is stuff we hated to guard against you.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Hi, I'm Maggie Don, host of the Maggie Don Show. Weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
For you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy and still windy this morning. The wind will die down and we'll actually see a little sunshine here by this afternoon. High today 44. Tonight, partly cloudy 35. Tomorrow, sunshine 45 by Thursday, partly cloudy with a high near 46. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tune in for a Super Tuesday edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We'll bring you all the electoral results and more 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 a.m. and 101.1 FM WAUK.
70 a.m. The Zone. Because we know your barn smells like money. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
All right, rainfall reporters, let's have your updates. Anybody pick up measurable rain yesterday? I know in my backyard, Madison, for just a moment, we had a little bit of a shower roll through that actually had a little bit of hail in it as well. Go ahead, use our talk text line and let me know what happened in your backyard. That number is 877-301 Farm. That's 877-301-3276. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yankee. Tickled to have you along with us. Not a lot of change as far as overall conditions coming our way today. Partly cloudy skies. 50 is our expected high. Still a little breezy out there out of the northeast, about 12 miles an hour. Wednesday, sunshine back in the mix and 53. Thursday, mostly cloudy skies and 54 degrees. Looks like another shot of rain coming through on Friday. Stu Mucker, Ag Meteorologist, joining us a little bit here with all your weather details. Do you remember that feeling the first day of school or maybe a special event? You get your clothes all laid out. You know exactly what you're going to wear, what time the alarm clock is set to go off. Well, that's some of the feeling that not only the farm team has this morning, but literally hundreds of people, if not more than that, connected with the World Champion Cheese event. It officially begins today at the Monona Terrace Convention Center in Madison, where the world's best come together. That's not only the cheeses and dairy ingredients that are being evaluated, that's the team of judges that's doing the evaluating. We are going to focus in some of our attention on that and the behind-the-scenes information you'd otherwise miss. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is joining us this morning as well. Good timing, too, because markets are lower in overnight trade right now. And Wisconsin soybean growers expressing disappointment that Chevron has decided to indefinitely idle production at a Madison biodiesel facility. We've got all that and more on the way.
Nobody likes driving on a rough road. Hitting potholes is hard on your body. The bumpy terrain is hard on your vehicle and your farm equipment. Today, you can take action to improve your rural roads. Encourage your town or county to apply for the Agricultural Roads Improvement Program. $50 million are available now to make commuting and farming easier on you. The deadline to apply is April 5th. Find the application materials at MidwestFarmReport.com.
A lawyer and a farmer walk into a field. While this scenario may sound like the intro to a bad joke, in the agricultural sector, these kinds of relationships are key. Finding the right legal structure for your farm can be overwhelming. It is not a one-size-fits-all approach. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. Rachel Armstrong, Executive Director of Farm Commons, breaks down what steps to take and what really matters in order to be successful.
First off, there's not one legal structure that's really best for all farm businesses. A lot of folks choose to use the sole proprietorship or the partnership, which aren't exactly a legal structure. They're more like lack of a legal structure. And that comes with risks. Now, some people are tolerant of those risks. Personal assets are available to satisfy business liabilities. But then other people think that and think, oh my God, that's not an acceptable risk. I would like a corporation or an LLC. And honestly, between the corporation or the LLC, they are quite comparable. You can achieve similar objectives with both of them. People say the LLC is more flexible. Technically, that's true in some ways, but those points of flexibility aren't often very meaningful to farms. Like, for example, you can have more than 100 owners or members, as the law calls them. I don't know any farms with more than 100 owners, at least not the type that I work with. So I don't think those distinctions are too influential to farms. So corporations and LLCs, they're going to get you where you're trying to go when that is protection of your personal assets from business liabilities.
Are there any specific considerations when it comes to structuring ownership, especially when there are multiple stakeholders?
Yeah, no matter what business structure people choose, you know, whether it's a partnership, an LLC, or a corporation, one of the things that farmers often miss is writing the governance document that goes with it. So an LLC has an operating agreement, corporations have bylaws, and a partnership has a partnership agreement. Even if they are legally required, you're not legally required to put in good time and effort and write a good document. So a lot of folks skip that step. They're like, geez, we formed the corporation. Is that not good enough? Well, that's a missed opportunity. These governance documents answer extremely important questions like, what are we required to put into the farm business? Money? Labor? When? How? What do we get out of it? When do we get, you know, a return on our investment? Is it during the course of operations or only upon retirement or what? What about disputes? What about who's handling governmental obligations? These are really important questions, and they're actually the ones that tend to spell the success or the death of the farm business. So just because we don't legally have to draft a good document that really represents our goals, our ideals, and our actual plans, we benefit tremendously when we do that. So asking those questions, finding an answer to them, those to me are key considerations for really being successful over the long term with your farm business.
How can you make sure you're being compliant when it comes to local zoning regulations for the farm?
Zoning is so local. I mean, the number one recommendation is read it. And that's hard. You know, I don't want to say it like it's just something everybody's going to do while eating their lunchtime sandwich. Sometimes it's an investment of time, but it's one that really yields a lot of benefits to that investment. Even if it takes 2 to 3 hours to really sit down, figure out, number one, are you in an area that's zoned agricultural? Well, that's a really good start, and you can presume a lot of what your farm is doing is going to be allowed. But there's nuances even within that. Are you considering doing agritourism? Are you going to do value-added processing? Do you want to do on-farm housing? Those are things that even in an agricultural zone, you can find restrictions in terms of when, how large you can get with those things. So read that zoning code and become familiar with what is said and what is not said.
How can a farmer protect their farm's interests when it comes to lease agreements or land use contracts?
I'd say the biggest barrier to success that I see between owners and the people doing the leasing is not talking enough about all different aspects of that land use. I do see that a fair number of farmers have written leases in place, but those leases aren't detailed enough. They don't specify exactly which type of agricultural operations are allowed to happen. They don't go into detail about any specific restrictions that might be in place. Things about who needs to carry insurance, what kind, how do we renew this lease? What happens if we have a dispute between us? Who are we going to go to try to resolve that? Those are really proactive things we can do to help create a strong relationship, which is ultimately what we want. Anyone who's in a leasing relationship knows that, you know, longer is better, and being able to continue that relationship matters. And those relationships continue the best when we talk about what it is that we want out of this relationship and come to agreement.
That was Rachel Armstrong, Executive Director of Farm Commons, along with us. She added that while strong, resilient farm businesses are built on a solid legal foundation, in the end, it's really up to the farmer to decide what business structure works for them, because they're the only people who really understand how one business structure will fit their details for their farm the best. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Maggie Don, host of The Maggie Don Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The
Todd Alma Show.
Green Bay's a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Alma Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tune into the Earl Ingram Show Tuesday at 8 a.m. for my regular conversation with Sandy Williams. I'm Earl Ingram.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You can take in all the sights, all the smells. One new smell that you might notice this year at the World Champion Cheese is their racelet category. Racelet is kind of a melty cheese. So John Umhafer was telling me that they are going to actually be melting the cheese. So the judges are going to evaluate it in the form that it was meant to be presented to consumers. So if you walk in and it smells like something's warm, you're right. It's the brand new Racelet variety. They're also having pasteurized processed cheese product. That's a brand new category this year. And that kind of addresses trends, preferences, if you will, outside the United States. Some of us might be a little cheese snobby about pasteurized cheese in the United States, but that's not the case elsewhere. So those are two new categories at the World Champion Cheese Contest. One thing I don't want you to forget are all the volunteers, all the hard work that went into this event before it got here. I had a couple folks that emailed and texted me and said, hey, how do they get this cheese into the United States? Well, that's a good point. It takes a long time. And one guy that knows all about that is Randy Swenson. He is the director of contest logistics. And he actually tells us that a lot of the cheese samples, a lot of the dairy products they're evaluating started coming to Wisconsin more than a month ago.
The entries, they start rolling in probably February-ish, the first part of February already. They start coming in. That ships in from all over. We get it on from the customs where it comes through on the airplanes. It comes from local shippers, UPS, FedEx, example, stuff like that, all the way to people drop it off in person even, right from the cheese factories.
Randy Swenson, he is the chief of logistics for the World Champion Cheese event. Had to get all those samples gathered in Little Chute at WOW Logistics and then move them again down to Madison in the Monona Terrace Convention Center. And he said, number one goal is to make sure that they are keeping that in pristine shape. They want to make sure that it stays in the same quality, the same presentation as when it arrived, because it is very precious cargo. You can imagine how expensive it was for those individual cheesemakers to spend all that money to fly their cheese to Wisconsin, to fly their dairy products to Wisconsin or get it to us in good condition. And that's another thing you have to keep in mind is not all these packages are real small.
This year, I think we topped a little over 3,300 entries. There's butters, there's yogurts, cottage cheese. There's a bunch of other classes in there, too. We get finished product, ounces, snacks, and everything, all the way up to 200-pound Swiss wheels, flats of Swiss and everything. So, yeah, that's a broad thing all the way through the industry because of the classes that are in there, from snack classes all the way up to the big grinder and the Swiss wheels.
Yeah, 200-pounders there. And John Umhafer said they did give a lot of the cheesemakers the option of sending smaller cuts from their wheel to save on some of the freight. But he said almost all of them have decided they still want to send this the whole thing. They don't want to be the ones that decide which quarter of that wheel is their entry. Took them three full semis to get it all to Madison for evaluation today. Time for a look at weather. Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, joining us. I bet you're licking your lips just thinking about all that sampling that could go on down there, hey?
Oh, I'm just, man, melt some of that on some eggs this morning. Give me a couple slices here. Oh.
You know, and for farm kids like us that grew up in this industry, I mean, when I was a kid, there were cheese plants all over the place. I mean, every community had one. You know how you'd use almost every cheese you're going to see. But I think given the fact that there's more than 3,300 entries from around the world, dude, even old dogs like us would learn a new trick.
Well, we just had a wedge of raclette brought into our house.
Oh, seriously?
Raclette, however you pronounce it, yes.
Raclette. Yeah, raclette, I think. I don't know if I've ever enjoyed that, so.
It just came in. I sampled it on Sunday.
Okay. What'd you think?
It was good.
What is it?
We didn't melt it. I ate it cold, but it had a good flavor, unique flavor.
There it is. There it is. That's why he does weather, because they told me it's supposed to be served melted. And he just bites. Oh, yeah.
I was cutting it off the chunk, and you know.
Nobody slapped your hand. That's the way it works in your
household.
You
got a sample. That's what you do.
So we've got our rainfall reporters getting active. And thank you, by the way. Our talk text line is 877-301-FARM. 877-301-3276. Linda from Reeseville, 6/10 of an inch of rain. Then we've got our folks by West Bend, 1.7 inches of rain, and says they're ready to get busy giving us rainfall reports because they're worried about the drought. Good morning, Kirby by La Crescent, Minnesota, 0.3 inches of rain. What else did everybody in the rest of the territory get?
Well, I've got Milwaukee and Racine at about an inch and a tenth, and then it goes down from there. In that area of Reeseville, I've got Mayville at 85 hundredths of an inch, 66 hundredths of an inch at Madison, officially 27 hundredths of an inch at the Fond du Lac Airport, Banner over on the Sheboygan and Fond du Lac County line, 52 hundredths of an inch. So rainfall amounts are here, there, and all over the place, 63 hundredths of an inch at Elkhorn. That system is all pulled away. A cool front's pulled away from southeast Wisconsin. There's a little rain still in the far southeast edge of the state, just that little southern corner. Racine, Kenosha seeing some yet this morning. That's going to end in a pretty big hurry, and we dry out. And in fact, although there are some morning clouds, sunshine breaks through today, and we stay a little on the brighter side for Wednesday. Clouds will redevelop Thursday, but it doesn't sound too bad. The temperature is still a little on the above normal side, not as far above as yesterday. Milwaukee still set a record in the low 60s yesterday. Well, not the case for the next few days, a little on the cooler side. And then another possibility of a little rain could even edge in late Thursday night, more likely into Friday, and may have a few snowflakes to start the weekend. I'll have forecast details right after this.
At Compeer Financial, we provide services based on your needs. So whether it's ag lending, crop insurance, or other financial services, or you're seeking industry expertise from a trusted advisor, we're here as a partner and member of your community that is defined by you. Contact your local Compeer Financial team at 844-426-6733 or visit compeer.com/you for your lending and other financial needs. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2022, all rights reserved.
To help take care of your ag operation, you're going to need the brand that you call One Tough Animal. Bobcat Plus, they carry new and used Bobcat equipment and also feature a full service department, parts, rental, so there's no need to worry about downtime. Skid steer loaders, mini excavators, utility vehicles, and so much more. There's a Bobcat Plus location just down the road. Eau Claire, Butler, Appleton, and De Pere. Those chores around the farm just got a lot easier. Stop in or visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat, One Tough Animal.
All right, buddy, let's have that forecast.
All right. Sunshine in the west already this morning. Clouds east, but they'll make way for sunshine. So we all join into that mostly sunny, nice day. A lot of upper 40s in the east, 50 or just into the very low 50s in the west today with the northeast winds about 5 to 15. More partly cloudy skies in the night, could even cloud over for a short time. Upper 20s, maybe a 30 in the northeast winds, 5 to 10. More sunshine Wednesday, another fine day around 50 far east, low 50s elsewhere. East winds about 5 to 10. And then Thursday, becoming mostly cloudy in the low 50s. Southeast winds 5 to 10. Later Thursday night into Friday, Pam, another round of some rainfall could be adding up again. Something to talk about in the weekend.
Again, everybody a little anxious about the D word to get us started this spring. So I think our rainfall reporters would be happy to give me something.
Oh, yeah, another half inch or better would be just great to wrap up the week.
All right, dude, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good day. All enjoy right. Enjoy that racelet. Melt it this time.
Yes.
Okay. Stu Muck, egg meteorologist, and obviously cheese connoisseur joining us this morning. Remember, our rainfall hotline is 877-301-FARM. 877-301-3276. I'd sure like you to join us with a quick update. And don't forget, the National Weather Service is now encouraging you to become an official citizen scientist and join their rainfall reporting team. Go to WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org and get signed up today.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. It's a make or break day for Nikki Haley as voters go to the polls in more than a dozen states and American Samoa. CBS's Aaron Navarro.
If she gets 40% in a good amount of these states or cuts it to a single digit gap with her and former President Trump, I think that shows cracks in the Republican Party for support for what is likely to become their general election nominee.
The Supreme Court has put a hold on Texas efforts to arrest migrants entering the U.S. illegally. CBS's Camila Montoya Galvez.
The Texas government, obviously led by Texas Governor Greg Abbott, has said that this is needed to deter illegal crossings.
Police in Nashville say 5 people have died in a small plane crash near Interstate 40. WTVF-TV's Hunter Hoagland.
They were in the air there. We're told they were given the all clear to land, but the pilot then radioed in that they were not able to make it to the airport.
Tower officials say they received a message about engine and power failure. There were no survivors. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin taxpayers with kids are getting a tax break. Governor Evers is enacting a bipartisan bill to expand child and dependent care tax credits from 50% of the federal credit to 100%. The total tax relief should add up to $73 million a year. On Friday, Evers vetoed 3 Republican tax cut bills. Suburban women in Wisconsin have a lot to say about who wins the race for president. That's why First Lady Jill Biden was in Waukesha Sunday talking about reproductive rights.
We are the first generation, and I think someone said this, in a half a century, to give our daughters a country with fewer rights than we all had.
Vice President Kamala Harris plans to be in Madison on Wednesday. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Brewers back in action. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After a day off, the Brewers back at it in spring training baseball with a game today against the Giants, then a split doubleheader tomorrow against the Reds and the Guardians. Milwaukee now 3-6 in Cactus League action, but manager Pat Murphy doesn't want to discourage his young players.
I always say, prepare to play good, treat yourself good. Which one do you think's the toughest? Treating yourself good. Kids, they still need help because they'll beat themselves up. They'll put their expectations so high. That's the part, you know.
Hockey, the UW-Madison men's hockey team, getting ready to host the Big Ten playoffs this weekend against Ohio State, the first game Friday night. NBA, the Bucks with a win over the Clippers, 113-106. Damian Lillard scored 41 points and talked about how Doc Rivers has helped out at head coach.
When he came in, he was just like, you guys don't run this, you guys don't run that. Like, this is stuff we hated to guard against you.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Coming up Tuesday on Matt and Air on Air, fans. See, Brian Kelly joins us to kick around the news in hour number two, all things Wisconsin with the fabulous farm babe Pam Yonke. Don't miss it.
Mostly cloudy and still windy this morning. The wind will die down and we'll actually see a little sunshine here by this afternoon. High today, 44. Tonight, partly cloudy, 35. Tomorrow, sunshine, 45 by Thursday. Partly cloudy with a high near 46. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Now. We tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But right now in front of us is victory over cancer. Right now, cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to better treatments and saving lives. Victory over cancer is there for the taking by you, because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory. Learn more at V.org.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Matt Nair on Air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now, is to take a Kringle and go away?
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Almost Show.
Green Bay is a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Back to the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
From farm to fork and everything in between, we cover it all. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Hey, don't forget about our talk text line, you rainfall reporters. Come on, let's see what you got. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. You're going to hear us call out that number a lot this spring as we're looking to see who's picking up measurable rainfall. If you didn't get anything in the past 24 hours time, chances are you won't see any more rain until maybe Friday. Today, partly cloudy skies, 50 degrees. Tomorrow, sunshine, which will be a pick-me-up, 53. And Thursday, mostly cloudy skies, 54 degrees. Don't forget, stick around. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, steps to the microphone, and his timing is really good. Markets for corn, soybeans, wheat, very much lower in overnight electronic trade. We'll find out what's going on. Also, stick around. On the way, this warmer weather, you know you like it. It jumpstarts spring, but it also can jumpstart insect activity. Charity Seebecker's got a conversation with PJ Leash, our University Extension entomologist, Mr. Wisconsin Bug. He's coming up in just a second. I'm Pam Yonke. Really glad you're along with us. So today is the fifth day of March. What can I tell you? On this day back in 1872, the air brake is patented. Yeah, a fellow named George Westinghouse is credited with the design on the railway braking system that uses compressed air. But I'm sure you truckers out there know you've got air brakes as well. God bless you, by the way. The air brake patented on this day back in 1872. On this day in 1956, King Kong was first televised. Yeah, the giant gorilla, King Kong, televised on this day back in 1956. Happy birthday to Las Vegas entertainer, magician, Penn Jillette. He is 69 years young, part of Penn and Teller. Eva Menendez is 50. Kevin Connolly is 50, actor, comedian. And can you believe it? It was on this day back in 1982 that comedian John Belushi passed away. And now you know. We all know these temperatures we've been enjoying for, what, the past 45 days or more are well above what we expect in Wisconsin at this time of the year. And while we've probably been enjoying it, not having to struggle with the snow, the shovels stay put, it also is jump-starting insect activity. Charity Seebecker's got an update.
The mild winter we've been having has prompted some insect species to become active sooner than usual, signaling a potentially early start to the bug season. I'm Charity Seebecker with the Midwest Farm Report. And with these bugs being active earlier in the year, PJ Leash, our state entomologist, says we'll see even more generations of these insects this year than normal.
In Wisconsin, we've got about 20,000 or so different insect species, and they make it through the winter using different strategies. So some insects that perhaps overwinter as eggs, those aren't ready to hatch quite yet. But other insects that overwinter as adults have actually become active just in the last couple of days with some of the unusually warm temperatures that we have. So that's the most immediate thing I can think of, is simply that with warm temperatures, some of those insects can become active. This could mean an overall earlier start to kind of the bug season in Wisconsin. But a few other things come to mind as well. If we end up having a really warm and early spring, and if we also have an extended and late fall, that is going to stretch out the warmer period of the year. That could allow certain insects to perhaps squeeze in additional generations of insects. There are some insects that kind of continually reproduce, like aphids will go through generation after generation. But some other insects are a little bit more set in their ways, and they might only normally go through a single generation per year. Unless they have an extended warm season, then they might try to squeeze in a second generation. I've seen that with squash vine borer, a crop pest of pumpkins and squash here in the state. And then another thing that comes to mind is if we continue to have milder winters, over time, we're probably going to see some range expansion, some insects that maybe can't quite overwinter here or they have a hard time surviving a winter. They may push farther north into Wisconsin if milder winters continue.
Well, I'm going to ask maybe on the opposite side of things. As we know in Wisconsin, our weather can change drastically from day to day. It can go from that kind of mild winter we were just talking about back to the snowstorm and really cold freezing weather. How will that play into the insects and moving forward throughout the year?
Yeah, that's a great question. And to be honest, I'm not expecting a huge impact of that. And certainly this week, we have been yo-yoing back and forth between, in some areas, 70 degrees, and now it's down in the teens in some spots. A lot of our insects are pretty cold hardy. And if they overwinter in life stages that are particularly resistant to those conditions, eggs, for example, can often be pretty tolerant of some environmental extremes. It's probably not going to have much of an impact on them. I would expect to see more of an impact if we had a warm start to the year and insects started popping out in abundance and then we had a cold, hard frost. That would probably have more of an impact overall. But early in the season, we tend to have these fluctuations and the insects tend to deal with it just fine. So probably not much of an impact from the yo-yoing weather patterns at the moment.
Now, what about ticks? I know it's probably, for some people, thinking that's way too early to even start thinking about them. We don't usually see them till later in the year, but what kind of impact has the weather been having on them?
Yeah, so that's another great question. And to be honest, with some of the warm temperatures we've had in the last couple of weeks, ticks have become active. And as you just mentioned, Charity, folks aren't thinking of ticks necessarily. We tend to think of ticks during the spring months like April and May when we're getting out and doing hiking or looking for morels or getting out into fields and things like that. But the ticks that we have around here that we commonly think of like deer ticks and American dog ticks, they can overwinter and they typically go down amongst leaf litter on the ground, which insulates them to a certain extent. And if there's snow on top of that, it insulates them further. And so once the temperatures warm up just enough, consistently above freezing, you can, in theory, have ticks becoming active any time of the year. So I have had just in the last couple of weeks some tick samples and cases here at the UW Insect Diagnostic Lab.
That was PJ Leash, state entomologist, along with us. He added that insect populations are like the Forrest Gump quote, "Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Every year is different and can bring surprises along the way." From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
An appropriate analogy, to say the least. Thanks, PJ. Thanks, Charity. Well, John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, going to break down the markets for us in just a moment. In overnight electronic trade, we've got December corn down 2.5 right now at 460. November soybeans are down 3 at 1143. July new crop wheat, currently unchanged, 567 a bushel. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese dropped a quarter of a cent to 164 and three quarters. 40-pound block cheese was down 2.5 cents at 152 and three quarters. AA butter, that did gain 5 1/4 cents at 281 a pound. The April Class 3 milk this morning's up 2 at 1660. The May milk is up 6 at 1711 a hundredweight. Don't forget, today is the beginning of day number one of judging and evaluating for the World Champion Cheese event at the Monona Terrace Convention Center. Couple quick reminders. Today and tomorrow, the general public is welcome to come in free of charge and take a look at all the judging, all the cheese on display, and even get a little sampling in. And then remember, Thursday, about 2 p.m., that's when they'll announce the World Champion Cheese. And that will be televised via their worldwide web, worldchampioncheese.org website. Wisconsin soybean growers are expressing their displeasure. The announcement this week that Chevron is indefinitely shuttering their biodiesel facility in Madison. It was one of two plants that Chevron announced they would be basically closing down. The other was in Ralston, Iowa. The facility in Madison started operations in 2007 and was producing approximately 20 million gallons of biodiesel every year. Sarah Stelter, president of the Wisconsin Soybean Association, says that they're disappointed and working on legislation that might help solve the ongoing uncertainty in the biofuels market. You know, this comes at a time when a lot of municipalities are taking a look at biodiesel as a way to shrink their carbon footprint. Kelly Marzak is a project manager with a company called MegCorp. It's a fuel consulting company out of Plymouth, Minnesota. I talked with her, and she says that a lot of municipalities are leaning towards biodiesel as part of their sustainability plan.
Municipalities often have sustainability goals or their carbon reduction goals.
Sure.
So looking at their fleets, trying to reduce the petroleum use, trying to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from their fleets, biodiesel is a great option for those diesel fleets. It is quick, blends up to B20, can be used in their current diesel vehicles and dispensed through their current diesel fueling equipment. So it makes it easy. They don't have that large investment that is often needed if you're changing out your whole fleet to a different alternative fuel. So less expense and less time to make that happen.
Kelly Marzak, again, she's a project manager with a company called MegCorp out of Plymouth, Minnesota. They're a fuel consulting company that does a lot of work with municipalities. But that facility in Madison, as far as biodiesel is concerned, for now, closed. Coming up next, what is influencing our markets on a Tuesday morning? John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, is on the way. Hey, rainfall reporters, don't forget our talk text line looking for your input this morning. Did you get any rain? Call us, text us, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Today, young adults face big questions about their future. How will you make your mark? Do you want to be part of something bigger than yourself? Are you ready to learn new skills and make new friendships? Perhaps you have a dream that you're ready to make real. So, how will you make a mark with your future? As you embark on a journey toward finding these answers, the military can serve as a resource for providing help, information, and opportunities. A public service message from the Department of Defense. To learn more, visit todaysmilitary.com.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tuesday on Nightlight, I welcome entertainment reporter Rob Thomas and sports reporters Jimmy Cuska and Mike Clemens. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
301-3276. Time to catch up with our friend John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. His website, totalfarmmarketing.com. And don't forget their toll-free number to call them, 800-334-9779. A lovely shade of pinkish red on my screens this morning. John, I'm making fun of it. That means our markets are going down. What's the conversation starters this morning?
Well, again, a lot of it's still on the money flow side, supply side of things. We've seen the grains kind of maybe find a little stability here after the big push through into the 1st of March with the funds moving some money around. You know, again, but we've had a nice little pop in that core market. Here comes some profit taking, probably some selling going into place in that regard. Soybeans are still struggling against those global prices that are competing against us. So we just can't get too far too fast here in terms of the marketplace in general. And, you know, even go look at the outside markets. Had a good moving crude oil, little profit taken there as we hit the $80 level here, you know, yesterday and the Friday. You know, so far, at least on the overnight session, just feels like some money's just coming off the table a little bit here before the true trading session begins later this morning.
One sale that was made, I want to go back to, you mentioned for the first time in a long time, Taiwan was in our marketplace. What's the conversation going on there?
Well, it was really good to see. And first off, a corn sale with prices where they are just kind of helps add a little bit of demand into this marketplace. Corn sales have been moving along pretty nicely here, you know, because we are still competitive at this point. But Taiwan stepped in the market yesterday, picked up a little over 100,000 tons, about 4.5 million bushels of corn. You know, we call those announced sales because they're over a certain requirement. The USDA has to publicize those in terms of the media, and they need to get out there on their websites, things of that nature. This is the first time we've seen a sale from Taiwan get published like that since 2017. Yeah, maybe that's just a reshuffling of the deck chairs in terms of the corn demand. China's picked up so much corn out of Brazil that the customers that would typically go there have to go somewhere else, and that's led them to us in some cases. You know, so again, global demand is still one thing that continues to kind of stay in the focus of the marketplace, and sometimes it doesn't always have to be China that buys our corn.
Yeah, exactly. Now, one other thing that's kind of been floating out there, food insecurity and edible grains. What's the angle there?
You know, again, that's one of the biggest things. I'm just kind of looking through an article that came out here this morning, too, that China's voted to pass their budget, put more money into grain and edible oil stockpiles. Again, their concern is food security, obviously, with their population, you know, the amount of food that's on the marketplace, the global competition for food, the dollar that's involved or the cost that's involved of it, you know, that they're definitely want to make sure they're taking care of their own borders in that regard. And grain prices have obviously dropped significantly off of last year's level across the board. So they're kind of stockpiling right now. Unfortunately, they haven't been buying a lot of U.S. grain at this point, but they're buying a lot of global supplies. We've seen purchases across the board for soybeans, wheat, sorghum, rye, and now, you know, as well as corn, just kind of telling us that they're concerned about where things could be in the longer term regarding their own country's food supply, and they just want to take advantage of an opportunity with prices being cheaper. Again, does that lead something down the road? We'll have to see in terms of the overall marketplace. You know, this market's still going to rely on one thing, and that's going to wind up being the weather as still the main driver of price going forward. And there's just a lot of things that kind of keep buzzing out there about longer term weather pictures that could be coming in 2024.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, along with us. Again, their website, totalfarmmarketing.com. You can call them 800-334-9779. John, in the time remaining, tell me about the weather that you're watching. South America, usually number one with a bullet.
Yeah, no, South America obviously stays on task right now in terms of the weather side. We're possibly seeing some changes that could be friendly in terms of the market price. Areas that are now wetter, maybe turning drier, kind of the way we were back in December. And that could be an impact on that second crop corn. So we're watching that closely. Obviously, you guys know what's going on here in the United States. We're extremely dry in the Midwest. It does not look like things are going to be changing off these temperatures anytime soon. You know, that's going to be something we'll have to watch. You keep hearing that comparison to 2012 from people. So we'll see at this time frame. But it's a time window here with prices where they are. I've been kind of stepping into some ownership out into the summer months. Price with the movement, things are cheaper right now to get that ownership in and just start having that wild card out there in case we run into some weather issues. You know, hopefully not, but we always got to be prepared for anything that can move this market quickly.
What kind of planting update have you got from folks farther south?
It's starting to roll, and actually the fun parts of the stuff that's starting to chatter here in the north is people are taking advantage of this and taking a long shot and putting some stuff in the ground early around, you know, in the upper Midwest. But planting progress is just starting to kick in, and it will start picking up a little bit more, so we will start focusing on that southern plains weather. Obviously, we got the dryness down there we have to be concerned about, and we'll have to see how the things materialize over the next handful of weeks. But with this weather like it is, I expect planting to go in aggressively and fast.
Yeah, well, with crop insurance dates, so you better be careful on just how aggressive you get too.
Yeah, very much so, very much so. But everybody's starting to get the itchy fingers already as they're getting close with this warm weather.
I hear you. All right, my friend, appreciate you. We'll hear you next week right here, okay?
Sounds good. Have a great week.
John Heinberg joining us live this morning. He is our market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Again, their website, totalfarmmarketing.com. Toll-free number to call him, 800-334-9779. You can email him directly, johnh@totalfarmmarketing.com. Thanks again to you rainfall reporters. I appreciate Greg in West Bend. Of course, we've got our friend Dennis in Brownsville, Kirby in La Crescent. We've got Linda in Reeseville. More of you are welcome. Our talk text line, 877-301-FARM. Have a great day.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
A new playbook for U.S. farmers and ranchers in action today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio. Spring is just around the corner, and there's still time to upgrade to the latest technology from Ag Leader. From SureForce Downforce Control and SureSpeed High Accuracy Planting Systems to RightSpot Individual Nozzle Control for your sprayer, Ag Leader has you covered. Upgrade now and reap the benefits this season. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com. The Agricultural Advocacy Group, U.S. Farmers and Ranchers in Action, has announced a new strategic framework for how it operates. CEO Kevin Burkham.
Farmers and ranchers are helping to solve some of the world's biggest challenges, including feeding a growing population, sustaining livelihoods, and building strong, resilient economies, and providing agricultural resources for an energy transition, all while reducing GHG emissions.
Burkham acknowledges the scope of that ambition, saying USFRA is preparing to further it.
There is a critical need for USFRA to bring all of American agriculture together, with farmers and ranchers at the center, to collectively identify and tackle complex, long-term issues that we're all wrestling with as a sector. To communicate and collaborate and educate and advocate for U.S. farmers and ranchers in both domestic as well as international markets.
Burkham says U.S. Farmers and Ranchers in Action is ready and willing to take on this mission. And I'll have more on that tomorrow. In the meantime, you can visit usfarmersandranchers.org to learn more. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Alball. On Super Tuesday, noon to 2, we'll preview the primaries and also take on alternate side parking right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You need skill and a little luck to play the game of pool, and you could say One Q Making Company in Wisconsin has both. Schmelke Q's in Rice Lake is the oldest pool cue maker in the U.S. and remains a family-owned, third-generation operated business. Schmelke started as a one-man shop in the 1940s. Now more than 20 employees work at the facility. So do you know which state has the most cue-making manufacturers? Is it Maryland, Minnesota, Wisconsin? The answer, coming up. Pool is an old game, and the cues similar to the ones used to play today were created in the late 1600s in Northern Europe. Pool came to America in the 19th century. So did you guess which state currently has four of the top five cue manufacturers? It is Wisconsin. And Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake has also been inducted into the International Cue Makers Hall of Fame, making this a worldwide slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Do you ever get tired of one-sided conversations filled with mean-spirited rhetoric? It's time to listen and engage. Join the Rational Revolution with me, Chris Alfine, Saturday afternoons at 2 and Sunday afternoons at 1 on the Shaw, 540 AM WAUK and the Civic Media app.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Shaw, 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you...
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.